Today we're here to share in our final Sunday together during this interim time, which has been wonderful. Now, much as I love final exams, I don't really have one for you today, obviously, which I know must be terribly disappointing for all of you. But I would like to take just a few moments this morning and examine how I feel our year and a half or so has gone, and how this church is prepared for the next step of the journey as you walk down that road and serve your Lord Jesus Christ, and as you welcome in a new pastor that we're all so excited about. So this past week, as I thought about what I might say to you today, there were so many things that went through my mind, because we have just had a wonderful time, and there has been so much love and so much joy in this time. But as I was thinking about what I might say today, my thoughts were drawn to a couple of passages, the ones that I just shared with you today, and how I have seen the way that God has written his love on your hearts, and the way I have seen the Messiah active in this church, so that I can say, ah, there's the Messiah, or here is the Messiah. So in the past year and a half or so here, I think that I have seen how God has loved all of you, and how you have loved God, and how we have felt loved by you, truly. And so I'd like to take just a few minutes to encourage you to continue to nurture those qualities that you have right here in this place, and to hold fast to the excellence that defines the Milford Presbyterian Church. First of all, in this interim time, which is always a time of flux, although you've maintained your integrity so well, there have been times, many times, when I could echo the words of Andrew when he came with passion and faith and said to others, particularly to his brother, I have seen the Messiah. I found him. In your strength, in the way that you worship, the way that you aren't afraid to confront new frontiers, even at times when you might present something that feels like you weren't quite sure about that. The way that you pray, and the prayers that are shared each Sunday morning. The way that you laugh, and the way that you love each other. I'm reminded of those in the Bible. So often, you know, remember when Andrew heard about Jesus, and then he met him, and he came running back to his brother Peter, and he said, you know what, that Messiah that we've been talking about, that we thought was coming, well, you know what, I found him. Imagine that. And we know the same thing happened when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, the empty tomb, and then suddenly Jesus was there, and she went running back, and she said, I have seen the Lord, and others who saw him here and there and again in a different place. And I've known that here. The Messiah lives on. Jesus lives on. And lives on in this place. And I've had moments that I will cherish. And it might have been a time when we were struggling with something, which we've had some struggles. Or a time when we were praying beside the bed of someone in a family who was sick. Or standing at the grave of one's lost hopes and dreams. Or in my confirmation classes with those young people who we adore and see just their lives ahead of them in this place. Or in the Stephen ministry when we sat together week after week, weekend after weekend, or in Bible study, in the music that we sing or we hear every Sunday. Oh, I can hear those words. There, here is the Messiah. And I want you to hold fast to those moments in your lives and remember those times when you feel the presence, you know, the presence of the living Christ, and reflect on those first times that you heard the story of Jesus or felt the presence of God's Spirit, and to hold on to that. And so today, cherish those things as you move forward, and to hope that comes from knowing that you're never alone, that you have this great community, and that most of all, the Lord, you know, is with you, that the Messiah is here, and the love that you have, and the incredible joy that you know in being a follower of Jesus Christ and a part of this wonderful community is part of who you are. And our passion is born out of that passion. You know, that others have left for us. People like Andrew, you know, thousands of years ago, but also maybe a deacon who brought you communion, or a group of humble men who sit down in that kitchen and prepare your meals, and share in the camaraderie of doing that and bring that to you. Or a choir who sang their love of God, and you can feel that when you all sing that love of God. And we think of Margaret today, who just leads you, and I had the privilege to be part of that cantata this Christmas, and I don't know how fun that was. But think of those times, you know, when you have seen the Messiah in this place. And because of that, we know what it means to be loved by God. And you can say, there is my Messiah. There is my Lord. There is Jesus. There have certainly been times in this church, in the interim time, that you have caused me to say to myself, there is the Messiah. So remember always that no one is an island. Each of you make up, you know, a part of this community, a part of this body of Christ. And remember, I encourage you to always remember that you make a difference in this place. And the things that you say and the things that you do, each and every one of you, make a difference. And none of those things go unnoticed, but rather have given me moments to pause and say, there is the presence of God. And then finally, the other thing from the other scripture that I just shared with you, I've seen how God has written his law and his love in your hearts. That God's called you to be God's own, to cherish that which has been put in your hearts, you know, to hold fast to that. In this interim time, which is always an interesting time, but during this interim time here, I have seen that that faith resides in your hearts, and that that is the faith that will carry you forward into such amazing things and times that you have ahead of you. And Pastor Kleiss and I are so pleased, you know, that you have this wonderful future ahead of you. There have been countless times when you've joined together, and that love that you have for this church and for God and for each other shines. And I invite you to hold that sacred in your hearts. I've heard you tell your story. You know, I've heard your stories. I've heard you tell them one to another and to another, stories of faith, of joy, also of struggles and challenges. But even in the midst of those struggles and challenges, there has been the presence of the living God in your hearts. It's part of who you are. You know, one of the jobs of an interim is to make sure that God remains at the center of all that the church does. And you have made that joy for us an easy one, because you have showed us that God is in your midst and at the center of what you do, that God has written that love upon your hearts. So there are things that have changed since we've been here, and change is good. Sometimes it's hard, but it's good. There have been things that have changed, and there are things that will change even more as you go forward when your new pastor, Brian Anderson, is installed here. But I want you to remember that in the process of all the things that go on in life, in the world, in this community, in your families, wherever, to always keep that love of God in your hearts, and to see and to recognize the Messiah in each person that you meet in your midst. So God has put that love in your hearts. And the Messiah is in this place. And it has been an honor and a joy. church with you. And as you go forward, know that you will always hold a very special place in our hearts, that we'll always treasure this time together. And while this church is different now than when we started, I want you to know that we are different as well. And we're thankful.
For my final remarks today, I have selected a passage from the Old Testament, one of my favorite books, one of my favorite characters, and one of my favorite names, Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 1 to 15. The covenant first established with Abraham is renewed at Shechem, under the leadership of Joshua. Joshua gathered all of the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God, and Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abram and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abram from beyond the river, and I led him through all the land of Canaan, and I made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst, and afterwards I bought you out. And when I bought your ancestors out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your ancestors with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. And afterwards, you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I handed them over to you, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. And then King Balak, the son of Zippor of Moab, set out to fight against Israel, and he sent and invited Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he blessed you. So I rescued you out of his land. And when you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I handed them all over to you. And I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove out before you the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and the oliveyards that you did not plant. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Spirit of the living God, melt us, mold us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Amen. Along with Pastor Schaefer, it has been my complete joy and privilege to be a partner in ministry with you. I came just a little bit ahead of Pastor Schaefer as a transitional pastor, and then together we began to work with you on helping to create, by honoring God's presence in our life, a good, redeeming future for this congregation. You are a good people. You care for one another, and you've given great care to Pastor Schaefer and I. You have reached out to our families, and you've been so kind. And there's a part of me that also wants to apologize to you, because I know that interim periods are filled with great uncertainty. And that is one of those things where, in my head, I was aware of the uncertainty. But I believe in my heart I have failed to feel the depth of uncertainty that you experienced as you walked through this. And so there have been times when I've worried that maybe my humor or what I've said or what I didn't say hurt one of you. And that is not something I would ever want to do. And if that has happened, and I'm sure it has, and I know that it has, and I've tried to speak to you personally, I just simply want to say that, you know, before any of us are ever ordained, we're male and female, and so we participate in the same struggle to live up to the high standards of the kingdom of God. Thank you for your forbearance, and please accept my appreciation and my apology. I selected this passage from Joshua today because I believe it parallels where the church on the corner in the village of Milford is at this moment in its journey of faith. I've read to you a portion of Joshua's last great speech to the Israelites. God has chosen Joshua to lead the Israelites, and Joshua has been a good leader, but his time of leadership is drawing to a conclusion. It's the end of a transition period. And Joshua speaks in the hope that he is able to point Israel in the right direction. He knew that he could not be with them and guide them forever, but he could try his very best to set a good course in the given time that he was allotted. And so Joshua recounts, very much in a way that Pastor Schaefer has just recounted for you, all that God has done in the history of the people of Israel. He reminds them how God chose Abram to be the father of a great nation and blessed him with a son in his old age, led the Israelites into Egypt to escape a deadly famine so that they could become a great nation. And when the Egyptians enslaved the Israelites, God intervened in the history of those people to urge Pharaoh to let the people go. And when they came to the Red Sea, God pushed the water aside to create an escape route. That God had fed them with manna in the desert and protected them in battle. The Israelites clearly had reason to trust the Lord. So Joshua now challenges them, as we do today. Thou therefore, he says, fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods of your fathers that served beyond the river in Egypt and serve Yahweh. And if it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods your fathers served. So what draws my attention to this passage is a choice that as we enter this new period together, to beat a hasty retreat, to return to the way things used to be, to doing things the way they used to be done, to the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But then Joshua says, we have an opportunity as we look forward in this moment. At the end of this transition, as for me and my house, we will serve God. So choose this day whom you will serve. Choose and make a decision. Amen. I'm ready for lunch too. Yesterday evening, Paul and I snuck out late in the evening and went to see the movie The Quartet. It is a must-see movie. Absolutely. If you like music, if music plays any kind of role in your life, if it's important to you in any way, see The Quartet. If you see the movie, it will take your mind in several directions. It did mine. Because on the way home, I thought about the many musical expressions that I find useful and uplifting. I love opera. I love the get down music, rock and roll, hip hop, doo-wop. Just saw the barbershop quartet sing doo-wop a couple of weeks ago. I like some rap. But I also enjoy country western. I don't think anybody puts together titles of songs like country western people. All the girls get prettier at closing time. Thank God and Greyhound, she's gone. This has always been one of my favorites. I got the Hungries for Your Love. And I'm waiting in your welfare line. That's my marriage. Jesus, drop kick me through the goalpost of life. I fell in a pile of you and got love all over me. And she done tore out my heart and stomped that sucker flat. But what I'm mindful of is one that George Jones wrote 2 months after he almost died when he hit a bridge while driving under the influence and being drunk. He wrote a song about that, and he said, in that song, I'm living and I'm dying with my choices. I say, amen. You and I are living and dying with our choices. Decisions make a difference. Now, I want to be clear here this morning. Neither Pastor Schaefer nor I want to cross that line and try to point to something specific and say, okay, that's what God wants you to do. Always be leery of any pastor that wants to do that. But for goodness sakes, we both would want to say, make decisions because they make a difference. Even when we are inclined to believe differently and conclude it doesn't really matter what we decide, making a decision to serve God is a clear-cut matter. And it's important to remember that when we say yes to God, it's like anything else. We'll end up saying no to something or someone else. It is imperative that we decide for ourselves and for our house. Joshua puts it this way, choose this day whom you will serve. And Joshua makes it clear, I choose God. It will make a difference. It really makes a difference. Several years ago, I was leading a youth group on what was called a whitewater canoe trip. We used to call them a float trip, where you'd rent canoes and you'd ride the water in a canoe, one in the front, one in the back. You could have one in the middle if you had too many people, because everybody liked to be either in the front or the back. And so we're on the current river, which Sports Illustrated says is the finest whitewater rafting place in this country. We were in Missouri at the time. And I made a decision shortly after lunch. We were making good time that we would all boat our oars and stretch out and relax. And due to my post-lunch coma, up in the lead canoe, I fell asleep. But gradually, I became aware of some noise. And the kids, there were about 60 kids in about 30 canoes. They were becoming concerned because with their younger ears, we became aware that the current was beginning to pick up speed and we could begin to hear the sounds of rapids subtly increasing. And that suggested to us that we were being carried toward something that would require skill and attention on our part to maneuver that part of the river. The point is, we knew we needed to make a decision. The unknown alerted us to prepare for the possibility that we would have to think quickly to maintain our space and to shoot the rapids. Choose this day whom you will serve, because if you don't choose, you end up making a decision. The decisions we make determine where we will go, where we will be tomorrow, where we will be next year. Choose this day whom you will serve, because that may well set the direction and the course of our common life together. Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve God, says Joshua. Choosing to serve God certainly sets a clear direction. Because when we decide to serve God and to follow God, that affects every decision we make. When we decide to serve God, it helps us choose our life's work, our vocation. It helps us determine who we will marry. It helps us determine how we will raise our children. And it carries over into our common life as a congregation. Choosing to serve God makes us more skillful at honoring the skill of the pastor and the authority the pastor has in our life. But when we decide to serve God, God will honor that decision. And God will sustain us. God never intends to be indebted to us. So when we cast our lot with God, God will honor our decision and sustain us. We will become people who will live with the idea that it is God's will it shall be done. So as for me and my house, we will choose this day to serve God. And there's no reason to wait. This is what Joshua is calling the Israelites to do. To enter the promised land. And there is a promised land. There is the promise of settling in to a new way, to an exciting time. This is a good time. And good times are the best times to choose God. One of the very best times for a congregation as it waits to receive its new pastor. But be sure to always make good choices. Choosing God will help to avoid certain difficulties, self-inflicted wounds, and heartaches. Congregations thrive when this rule is honored. Making these kinds of decisions always helps. We're always in the best place when we walk with God. So choose this day. Pastor Schaefer and I would urge you to serve God, to serve the Lord. May God richly bless you with the highest and most honorable of intentions.